I was painting a cupboard, and our five-year-old grandson was watching me. And he said to me, "Grandpa, you're wearing old shoes." And I said, "Yeah, well, I'm painting. If I get paint on my shoes, it won't matter because they're old." And I said, "And I'm also wearing an old t-shirt and old jeans." And after a moment, he said, "And Grandpa, your arms are old too." Yep. Yep. Yes, Jenny, that's right. Yeah, I've got old arms. Yep. This aging has happened to me without me doing anything. I wasn't trying to get older. Aging just happens to us. And I kind of notice it's happening to several of you as well, as I look around. Aging of the body just happens to us. But spiritual health, spiritual growth, maturity does not just happen to us. We have to do something. And that is the theme of the things that Peter has been saying. We've been looking at them these past few weeks and today as well. That's Peter's theme. You have to do something if you are going to become spiritually mature. Last week we talked about being active and fruitful in our Christian lives, and we reflected on this fruitfulness comes out of a vibrant relationship with Jesus. That's it in a nutshell. And Jesus said himself, "Remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit." So the really interesting thing here, if you want to be fruitful as a Christian, you don't spend all your effort and energy thinking about how will I be fruitful. You remain in Jesus. You focus on your relationship with him. And he will take care of the fruitfulness. And another important thing, being fruitful, growing in our walk with him, which is expressed in the character qualities like faith, goodness, self-control, perseverance, and so on. Those qualities are formed in day-to-day life. We don't have to specially go looking for ways to grow in character. They're all around us. If we are watching for them, and if we are people who want to grow, we will see them for what they are, and we'll, "Lord, what do you want to teach me here in this thing I'm currently facing?" And that's how we grow, at least one of the ways. Last Sunday, we looked at a diagram from David Pawson, which I want to revisit, and he calls this the household of faith. So if you look at the left-hand side there, so there's the entrance to the household of faith. This is God's family. We enter into God's family. If you look at the bottom there, I know that it's very small. That's why I'm explaining it to you. Faith is the foundation of God's household. We come into his household through faith in Jesus Christ, and that involves repentance, being baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit. That's how we enter. Now, when you come in the door, you imagine a staircase there in God's household. And on the staircase there are the qualities that Peter spoke about. He wrote about them, and we've been reflecting on them over previous weeks. Qualities like virtue or goodness, knowledge, self-control, patience, gentleness, brotherly kindness. And the final thing is love. So we imagine this staircase in God's household, in God's family, and it speaks to us of growing. It's a staircase. You climb the staircase. The experience of growing in these qualities builds our hope. as we grow in character, based on the Word of God and His work in our lives, we grow in our certainty of who He is and what He's done. We become stronger in our faith. And as the top room, this is diagrammatic. It's, you know, don't read too much into it, but it helps us understand these things. The upper room there is love. So this is God's purpose for us as a community of believers. Now, the thing we want to focus on today is the right-hand side there. From God's house, we leave this earthly body when we die, and we enter into His eternal kingdom in its fullness. We're in it now. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we are already in God's kingdom. We already have eternal life. But we leave this earthly body behind, and then we enter fully into God's eternal kingdom. That's God's plan. But, very sadly, there's another person in this picture. There's somebody who is actually falling out of God's household, falling out of God's family. And we want to talk about that as well this morning. So just taking these verses one by one, these are the qualities that Peter's been emphasizing we should grow in. But then he says here, whoever does not have these qualities is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. We sang a song this morning. We did more than sing. We don't just sing songs, we worship God. Come and behold Him. A person who is nearsighted and blind struggles to come and behold the Lord. They struggle to see His majesty. They don't necessarily want to go to that place. What does this mean? See, Peter's talking here about people who are part of the Christian community. He says there, they're forgetting they've been cleansed from their past sins. So they are people who are part of a given Christian community. They may have expressed faith in Jesus. They may have been baptized. But they remain very kind of dim and dull towards the things of God. They're not appealing to them. It's as if they can only see just in front of their noses. And because they don't see the wonderful things about God and what He's done for us, then they're not wanting to grow in those things and in their relationship with Him. Now, there's in another letter in the New Testament, the letter to the Hebrews, another writer is teaching about Jesus, going into detail about who Jesus is. He wants his readers to really see clearly, this is Jesus, this is the one we worship. Stay with Him. And then he writes this. He says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. So this writer also is writing to people that are still babies in their Christian life. Time has passed. They should have been growing, becoming mature, and become people who can help other people on the journey, teaching them, sharing from their own experiences. They should be teaching others, but they can't do it because they haven't been growing themselves. So, to be spiritually short-sighted, and that's what this means, or blind, it means we just see what is immediately before our eyes. And what is immediately before our eyes when we go out the door? It's the world. The world is immediately before us. And that becomes more appealing to someone who is spiritually short-sighted and blind. The world, the pleasures of the world, what they can make of their lives on this earth becomes more attractive than actually growing in Jesus. That's very dangerous, because that makes us vulnerable to things that would take us away from him. Just going back to this previous diagram here, you see, a person who falls out, fall isn't the best word, we'll come to that, person who, let's keep it, falls out of God's family, they've been on the bottom floor the whole time. They haven't been growing. They've remained spiritually stunted. It's a dangerous place to be. And we'll come back to that in a moment. So, that's why Peter says, the next verse there, he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. In China, out on a highway in a very remote place, we were traveling in a car and we saw one person walking along the highway, and this person would walk a few steps and then lay down on their stomach with their arms outstretched and then get up again and then walk a few more steps, lay down on their stomach with arms outstretched, get up and walk a few more steps. We don't know how long they'd been out there on this highway doing that. What was this person doing? He was earning his salvation. Suffering, putting his effort in to pleasing whatever God he believed in. Maybe one more kilometre. Maybe I've done 10. Maybe one more kilometre. Okay, lying down on my stomach, get up again. Okay, one more. Okay, my time that I wanted to do, that's passed. I've done one more kilometre. Maybe just 10 more metres. Maybe that would be enough. You see the problem. When you're trying to earn something, you never know if you've done enough. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. That's why it's good news. It's rest from striving to please God. Resting in what Jesus has done for us. It's good news. So when Peter says here, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, one thing he is not saying is make every effort to earn your calling and election. He's not saying earn it, it's already done. He's saying confirm it. So what does he mean by that? He means that the reason we want to grow in these qualities that is because they demonstrate that we already are in Jesus. We're already in him. We walk with him. And fruit comes out, fruit of character, among other things, and that shows, that confirms that we are saved. That's why he says grow in that. Become stronger in it. And you will be stronger in your assurance of what you believe. And then you won't fall. And the next thing he says here, if you do these things, you will never stumble. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, this word stumble here, it doesn't mean the kind of thing that is common to Christians, where we sin. John wrote to some believers and he said, if we claim to be without sin as Christians, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There have been doctrines from time to time that purport, that claim that Christians can reach a place where we actually don't sin. Those doctrines have been around. But John, He says, if we claim as Christians to be without sin, then we deceive ourselves. And then he goes on to say more of the good news, the same good news that saves us, that puts us right with God, not because of our own efforts, but because of what Jesus has done. John goes on to say, but if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This word stumble is not talking about the kind of sins that happen to all of us that we repent of. We're like, God, I don't know why I said, I don't know why I did that. Please forgive me. And God restores us and washes away any guilt. This word stumble, it means a single and final fall. That's it. There's no returning from it. That's what this word means. And that's why it's really serious for us to know these things and to be going into them so we really understand what he's saying here. Andrew Ferguson was here 2 weeks ago, missionary to Mexico. Those of you who were here may remember that he spoke about friends that he had known as a young Christian in the church that he was part of. They were involved in ministry. They had positions in the church, and things looked like they were going really well. But then, well, I'll read to you what he said. I wrote down his words. He said, some have turned their back on God. He said, we're talking about a lot of people. They sat here, and he said, they sat here like you are, in the seats of a church, just like you. And everything seemed to be fine. And they've left the faith. And he said, we often quote, or we may hear this phrase, once saved, always saved. Meaning, well, I'm saved now, I'm a Christian, and nothing's ever going to change that. Once saved, always saved. But then Andrew made this point. He said, if you are truly saved and nothing will ever change that, then why are there so many warnings in the Bible about falling away? This is a really serious thing we're talking about. It's literally, we're talking about life and death. It really isn't just something that we can take or leave. No, we need to take this and understand the importance of it. And then Andrew gave the illustration of a swimming pool. Now, I've never constructed a swimming pool in my backyard, but he said this is one of the designs. You start putting a swimming pool up, and then you attach springs, I guess, and cords to it, and those springs and cords are going to hold it up. What? Oh, did it, a trampoline. Thank you very much. I wasn't listening clearly enough, was I? Now that makes a lot more sense to me. Okay, trampoline. So, you've got a trampoline. Now, yes, springs, of course, for a trampoline. Okay, so you've got how am I going to talk about a serious thing when we're laughing? That's okay. You're putting your trampoline up and you're going to have springs, of course, pulling the net. If you attach all of the springs on one side first, then it's lopsided because there's too much tension on the side that you were working on. He said, what you have to do, you attach the spring to one side and then you go to the other side and you attach the spring there, and you've got equal tension. And then you go around a bit more and you attach the spring there and the spring on the opposite side. So his point is that those springs are there at the same time in tension with each other, and that is what enables the trampoline to stand, because those springs are in tension against each other. And he likened that to the scriptures that we have that seem to be contradictory, but are actually in a healthy tension. And what do I mean? Let's look at some of these. These ones, and these are just two of many that talk about our eternal security in Jesus. My sheep listen to my voice, Jesus said. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. That is total security in our relationship with Jesus. He's really clear about that. No one can take you out of my hand. You will never perish. And the next one from 1 John. God has given us eternal life. Okay, it's there. He's offering that to us. He's given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Eternal life is in Jesus. Whoever has the Son, whoever has Jesus has life because life is in him. Whoever does not have the Son of God, whoever does not have Jesus, does not have life. So if you have the Son of God, if you believe in him, then you have life. And the next line here is really important. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants us to know that we have eternal life, not to hope, to think, no, but to know that we have. It's a wonderful thing in your life if you know that you have eternal life. You rest from any attempts to make things better with God. They're already as good as they can get because Jesus has paid the price for us. And you can know and rest in your relationship with God throughout your life. That's what he offers us. Now, at the same time, so there springs on one side of the trampoline. At the same time, there are other scriptures, and these are just a few of several others. I'm reading it because some of you may not be able to read those words too far away. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. So Paul is saying, yes, the gospel saves you. Yes, you've believed in it. If you hold firmly to that word that I preached. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. And the second one we have here also from Paul. But now he, that is God, has reconciled you. God has reconciled you to himself, made you at peace with himself by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Without blemish and free from accusation. And here's the important part here. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. So we have both of these things there plainly. We don't like the thought that someone could fall away from God. We don't like that. But it's here. And if things are in the scriptures, you can't just kind of ignore them because you don't like them. You have to take them as seriously as any other. So these are an apparent contradiction. But the danger here, to focus on only one, to only focus on our security in God, it can cause us to have an overly confident attitude about life. Well, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm saved. I'm secure in Jesus, no matter how I live. Overly confident, taking for granted what God has done for us. So that's one extreme. Another extreme is to be overly fearful that we might fall away. God does not want that. He wants us not to be fearful, but to be confident, to know that we are saved. That's where he wants us to live. But these two things are here as a warning to us, and we need to take them seriously. And Peter ends this letter, 2 Peter, he ends that letter with the words, "Dear friends, don't fall from your secure position." You don't need to. There's no reason at all. Make sure you stay there. And then the last verse, last part of this verse, "And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So do these things. Grow in these character qualities. And why do you want to grow in them? Because they demonstrate that you belong to Jesus. These qualities come out of a relationship with him. So grow in them. Confirm that you know the Lord by this fruit that's coming out of your life. And then you won't stumble. You don't need to worry about that if you're keeping your relationship with the Lord. And the final thing there, when we leave this earthly tent, when we're done here on earth, then we fully enter into the eternal kingdom of our God, into what he has prepared for us. A man that I know, I've started with a grandpa story, and I'm going to finish with a grandpa story. It's not me. He received a text message from one of his grandchildren. And I'll show you the message. I'll read it again. "Morning, Grandpa. Thought of you this morning in church worship and wanted to say I love you guys and am very grateful for the strong faith you have passed on through to my generation. It's had a significant impact on my heart, and I'm forever grateful to you both. Kiss, 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 kiss." Isn't that a lovely text to receive from your grandchild? So this is a life that has been bearing that fruit that comes out of relationship with Jesus. And this is a life that has impacted down generations and no doubt others around them. This is the kind of life that God wants us to live and that is so doable if we remain in Jesus, if we seek him, if we actively want to grow in our relationship with him, then this is the life that is the natural outcome of that. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful to you for all you've done for us. It's all in Jesus. You sent him, the image of the invisible God. All the fullness of the deity dwells in Jesus. Father God, please open our eyes to see the wonder of what you've done for us. And stir our hearts, Lord, to want to know you more, to want to explore and develop the relationship that you offer us, because you've given us everything we need for a godly life. You've made available to us that we can participate in your divine nature. These are things that are there for us to receive. So stir in our hearts a desire for them, Lord. And keep us pressing on to know you. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name.